Larry Kreider here, welcoming you to Season 3 of the podcast. Since last season, we now have over 170 nations tuning in. We are so blessed. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guest will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here with my long-term friend here in the studio, Doug Grable. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very honored to be here, Larry.
Well, I'm honored to have you, and we've got a long history, 40-some years together, and I've known you for a long, long time. And tell me what your role is in business today and leadership today.
Well, my cousin and I and my dad and his dad, 33 years ago, took the land from our family farm and converted it into a golf course.
I remember when that happened.
And so the land was in our family for 120 years, and we didn't want to keep farming anymore. So we were the first new golf course in our county in 18 years.
That's
when
cool.
We built it. And so now it's just he and myself, and we have full-service golf course. We do golf outings, have an outside restaurant.
You do.
And,
it's amazing.
Have 100 part-time employees over the summertime.
Wow.
And going, is there a 32nd year this year?
Wow. So you and your cousin are in this together.
Correct.
Okay. So talk about what that looks like. Talk about, leadership of the, you're involved in the restaurant side, I know.
Correct.
But just talk to us about that a bit.
Well, I've been in a family business since I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Because in 67, my dad and his two brothers went together and started a grocery store.
Yeah.
Where we bottled our own milk and made our own ice cream.
I remember that store.
Triple G Farms. And we did that for 20 years. And then the series of events that we closed the store. And then a couple years later, we broke ground for the golf course.
Yeah.
So over the last basically 53 years now, we've been doing family businesses. And so it's a lot of dynamics of family.
Sure.
Versus a corporate business. There's also obviously, ties, and you have blood ties, and you got business ties.
Exactly.
And so that dynamics of how that works is very interesting.
You guys have made it work well over the years. You really have. I think I'm not an avid golfer, but I think I probably play golf more often in your golf course than any golf course in the world. I think I first learned to play golf in Scotland, took some lessons years ago when I was there. Of course, you and
That's
I have
great.
Some Scottish history together, too. I think if I remember correctly, your first mission trip was to Scotland, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Was that life-changing for you?
Pretty much so, Larry. I met my wife over there.
And she's Scottish? I know she's not.
No. My life was changed when, you came to me and said, you need to go to Scotland, Doug. And so, I didn't even know where Scotland was.
You're
I didn't know about Scotland.
At that point, way back in the day.
And so we went to Scotland, and there were 16 of us. And on the trip was my future wife, who
Beautiful.
Got to know. I didn't know her before that. We got to know her while I was over there. And 4 years later, I asked her to marry me. And then the family that I stayed with over in Scotland, we just hit it off really well. And the father was John, and he came over, his pastor there, came over and married us with you.
I remember well.
Married us. And to this day, I'm still friends with his son and his family, and we're still in touch to this day,
Beautiful.
40 years later. So love Scotland.
That is just so cool. Well, look, give us some steps that got you to where you're at today, in leadership. And you said you've got how many employees in the summer? 100?
Well, they're part-time.
Part-time employees.
Right, because they only, we have a lot of starters, rangers, all people working in the food service and greens department.
Right.
So it's a seasonal business, obviously.
Right.
So in the wintertime, we're down to 10.
Right, 10 or 12.
But then in the summertime, you need a lot because it's just, 7 days a week and you're going full throttle.
So what are some things you remember you learned back in the early days, as in leadership? This is a leadership podcast, obviously, filled with faith. We're believers in Jesus. And I know you and your wife, Chris, love the Lord, and I get all that. Anything else you could say? There's some things I remember, some steps I took, the things I learned about leadership in the process.
Well, like I said, we since I was five, we had a family business. And so you grow up and you see how your parents interact with employees. Yeah. And there's a fine line there because we can know the employees a lot more personally than if you were in a corporate world.
Right.
And so there's a line that could be dangerously crossed because you can have a lot of good friends as employees.
Right.
But then it gets the awkward conversation when there's issues there. Well, you know, we got some things here we got to kind of address. And then like, well, we're friends. And now you're you take it as a personal insult. And so you got to really
kind of—
That is
not easy.
It is hard, especially for me, because I am the kind of person that likes to engage and talk to people.
Right.
And I wear my heart on my sleeve pretty much. I'm pretty much what you see, what you get. I don't have this facade, you know. Don't have a lot of filters either sometimes, which is bad, I guess. But it's just, you know, you have to really have a line there. Now, some people you can tell that you can be friends with and they won't take advantage of you. Some people you'll be friends and they use that to their own personal advantage. So you got to watch that. So you really try to keep that line between employee and employer.
Right.
Because so many times it has come back and
it bites you.
Bites you bad. And you think you're being a nice guy and then comes back and bites you. And so sometimes it could even like tarnish you to want to be a friend in the future to somebody, and that's not good either. So you got to have the line. And then obviously with family dynamics, you know, like, you know, you're growing up with your cousins and also now you're a business partner.
Right.
And not everybody is meant to be a business partner. You might get along, you know, playing when you're 7, 8, 9 years old and hey, Mal, but you're not a business partner.
Right.
And you know, my cousin and I, Steve, have been in business together for, you know, 40 years.
That's
we had 10
amazing.
Years before the golf course. And you know, and we have our personal lives, you know, obviously separately, but I mean, together in business and our wives, you know, we all get along and families get along. Right. Now the next generation, my daughters and his daughter are coming in to take over the next generation and they all get along. So that's important there. So have your defined lines, have your defined roles is very important. And it just, it's God's grace.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
God's grace. You know, growing up and you know, coming to, you know, back in the Rhema days when—
Rhema was a Bible study that we had, interdenominational, young people from all kinds of backgrounds. And
I will never forget one thing you said to me when I graduated high school and I was getting ready to go to college. And you looked at me with those deep piercing eyes like you always do, you know, and you said, "Now, Doug, when you go to college," you said, "know what you believe and why you believe it."
Yeah.
And to this day, that was 1980. I've never forgotten that because a lot of people go to college and they get blown out of the water.
Right.
Because now they don't have mom and dad around.
Right.
They don't have their church family. They don't have their mentors, whatever. You're on your own.
That's right.
And my first job in college was at a warehouse, and it was with a Muslim, a Hare Krishna, and a Buddhist.
Wow.
There's four of us, and we were picking orders for this warehouse. And I tell you what, to say we had some interesting conversations is an understatement. And they were the nicest guys in the world. They were so great to talk with and work with and good friends. Mm. But it's just interesting that, well, if I would have said, well, Larry told me this, Larry told me that, I would have been like, blown out of the water. But I knew what I believed and why I believed.
That's right.
And that helped me, you know, just
that's good.
Make me, you know, firm in what and my stance, and helps you be yes and you know, kind of yes and no. You're a direct line, because when you get in leadership, you got to be yes and amen. You know,
that's
no
and
that and be very you know, black and white on different things.
Yeah. So you and Chris, I remember well, came to these Rhema Bible studies, we called them back in the day, went in missions. And so tell us a little bit about how you came to faith in Christ. How did you get, like, your heart's all over the world. I know you're in business, but your heart's in missions. Chris, you know, her heart's in missions and she loves the nations. Talk a little bit about how that happened.
Well, I grew up in Lancaster County, obviously here, and good old Brethren boy, going to the Brethren church and everything. And, you know, we had, like a lot of churches do back the time, they had revival services for the week, you know, and I was 12 years old and I just felt, you know, convicted to go up and give my heart to Jesus. And I went up and
I just have in front of the congregation.
I just made a declaration that I want to give my life
like
to
an altar
him
call
and
kind of
and
thing.
Altar call. Mm-hmm. And then on, I go, you know, I was involved in youth group. I was very blessed to have a great youth leader, great youth group that really had some really good foundational teachings. And one thing I appreciate about the Brethren Church is that we learned our Bible stories inside out. I mean, to this day, when I think of David and Goliath, I still see the felt boards back when I was in, when I was 10 years old, you know,
Cool.
And so we've really learned these stories very solidly. And
and I've heard that you have a heart for younger generation today, and you still teach.
Yeah.
You like young people, whether it's children, young people.
Yep.
I've heard those stories, good stories about that.
We are, at our present church we're at, I'm still involved in, and I call it Sunday school, but they call it, they call it Impact, you know, whatever. But yeah, I'm still involved in, and it's from 6 years old to fifth grade. And so I still do that once, twice a month.
I heard you're fantastic.
I love that.
Yeah. People in your church have told me that. So you came to Christ, praise God for that solid Christian background you have, and you gave your life to Christ. It's very real. And then later you had an experience with the Holy Spirit that happened later.
Correct. Yeah. The Rhema teachings, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit at the church, and I didn't really understand that really too much. And then you kept talking about that, and it was always kind of this inner struggle, because like I wanted to go here, but yet I didn't want to go here. I tried to think of excuses. Well, like I'm going to have to maybe mow yard tonight, or I got to maybe do this or that. I kind of was trying to get out of going, but yet my spirit man wanted to go, and it was always like, oh, I'm going to go there. I'm going to be convicted again because Larry's going to say something. And so I always go, and then I would feel convicted. Then I would get it cleaned up and get it right. Then I'd go back the next week. And I was like, oh, what's Larry going to say this time? It's going to make me all mad, you know.
But that, stuff, you know, that was kind of at the end of the Jesus movement, you know, and, and God was just moving sovereign all of our nation at that time. God moving in the lives of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people in our area, in the Greater Lancaster County, Pennsylvania area at that point. I'm just sharing this for people all over the world who are listening.
79.
And then you got a heart for missions. And obviously, you went, I mean, I was a young pastor then. We started a church. And the first, really, the first nation we sent a team to was Scotland to work with someone from YWAM who had a castle they wanted us to help us with.
Yep.
And you were on that trip. And that's where you met Chris, your amazing wife.
Yep.
Yeah. And I remember I made a big mistake. I remember I felt so bad. I didn't know. I think you were in college, and because of that, you missed some of the information. You didn't know that you need a passport,
I missed all the information, Larry. Yes. Because we went to, back then, we went to Canada as a, when I, my family, you know, we were in Nova Scotia, and I didn't have a passport after that.
Back in those
days. And so, you know, when you said I need to go to Scotland, I missed all the prior meetings. And so I showed up, and going down on the.
Going toward the airport,
Toward the airport, I'm sitting next, because I saw Chris. I saw this really pretty girl in the parking
lot. Who's now your wife.
And I said, yes. I said, well, whatever van she's going to get in, I want to get in that same van.
Now the truth's coming
so
out.
So I kind of waited to the end, and she got in the one van. I got in right beside her, you know. I thought I'm going to really impress her, you know, go down to the van. So we're talking, and I thought I'm really going to really impress her. And then she said, hey, let's get out our passports and look at our pictures so we can see how funny we look and everything. And I'm like,
what passport?
Don't have one. Maybe the leader has one. They're like, no, the leader doesn't have it. You have to have your own. And so I go from really trying to impress her to looking like a complete idiot, you know, because I want a passport. And
how did you get a passport? Now it takes a long time.
Back then, and this is 1983, she says to me, and this is it's so God ordained because I'm sitting with her, and she says, well, listen, call my father, future father-in-law, and ask him where to go, because I got mine only like a month or two ago, and he'll tell you where to go. So back then, you could drive down to Philadelphia, wait 2 hours, and get a passport.
That's amazing.
Imagine that today, yeah.
And that happened.
And that happened. So I called up this guy, who I had no idea who he was, future father-in-law. He says, go here, blah, 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 and get your passport. Came back, and then I called another guy. That was on a Sunday night.
Okay.
And we went there, came back. I called him Monday, went down Tuesday, got my passport. Wednesday, I called this guy named Merv Charles.
Yep.
Didn't know him. He told me how to go there. So when you fly into Heathrow, you take this train to this bus,
so
that train to that bus.
So the whole team left without you.
The whole team's over there already.
And you're back here getting a passport.
And I'm here. And so I got all the information and I left that following Friday. Now, I think I was, I know I was on the first mission team ever sent to by Dove,
PCFI. That's right.
I think I am the only person that under 21 that you ever sent by themselves overseas that had never been out of the country before in their life.
You're a brave man.
And and unfortunately, Larry didn't tell me a lot of the different vernaculars, the wording, like to say, you know, like what do you call a restroom versus a bathroom and those kind of things.
Right. You learned very, very quickly.
And I met a guy, it was like Mission Impossible. I met this guy who I never saw before, says, are you Dave Brett? Are you Doug Grable? And then I got in his car and left. No idea who he was. You know,
and Dave Brett was the leader you were looking for in Scotland.
So here I'm meeting this stranger in a train station at 10 o'clock at night. It was like some covert operation, you know.
And
picked
you,
me up, and I was very
and
trusting.
You lived
Larry,
to tell
very
the
trusting.
Story.
I could be lost over there in the Highlands, you know, to this day. But you know, somehow
well,
I got back.
God had his hand on you. It's amazing, amazing story. You're the only person in the world that I know that has that story, Doug. So you're a really, really special guy to God. Great. Well, you learned all this stuff about leadership, and I know you and Chris have a heart for the nations today.
We do, absolutely.
And
we,
so how did that happen? Because of that first trip?
Well, I mean, I think it's something that it's kind of and you're born with, I guess, because, I mean, we both love to travel.
Yeah.
And another thing you had said, you know, different stages in life. You know, we got married, and we had five kids. You know, we had four kids in 5 years, and another one 5 years later. So we had five kids, so we're not going anywhere for a while.
Right.
And you broke it down for me one time by saying, you know, your single stage, and you have your babies and business stage, and then later on stage.
Yep.
And so because for those, you know, gosh, 15, 20 years more, you know, 20 years for sure.
Right.
We didn't really go anywhere. We went to the beach and the mountains maybe.
Sure.
And
it was a season of time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We wanted to be young and have our children young so we can kind of grow up with them.
Good.
That was our choice to do that.
Right.
But so now we're at a stage that we can travel. You know, we weren't able to travel at all. When we got to the point where we could travel, God put us in a church with a pastor who was the international director for all the overseas churches in the network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we are, and I didn't know that. We wanted to just be part of a church that was in our community, that we would, you know, that was in our backyard that we could be pouring into. And a pastor was also one of the overseers of the network, and he oversaw all the churches in the world. So we went to Kenya, I went to Thailand twice, I went to Costa Rica twice, we went to India, Mexico, you know, and so we went all these places, all these different churches that I never would have went to, and because of the contact there, you got to meet the people. And then what was really, really amazing was that our contact church over in Kenya, in Nakuru, was good friends with the previous person, a good friend of mine in Nairobi, Ibrahim Amande. So you can't make this stuff up, Larry.
It's all down to relationship.
It is.
God is relational God. It's relationship with God. And we, you know, we keep good relationships.
Exactly.
It makes all the difference in the world. And I know you, and I'm just even this weekend, you've got friends from Scotland, you know, you brought over staying here after, what, 40 years?
Over 40 years,
bringing this first
staying
team,
in touch,
this
40
team
years.
That went to Scotland back together after 40 years. Some of these people haven't seen each other for 35 years or more. It's amazing, but your heart for the nations, your heart for the kingdom is one of the main things I love about you. You have such a heart for the kingdom of God and heart for the nations. And I love the way God does it. Well, that reminds me of something else I'm going to ask you. We do this special thing sometimes on this podcast called Ask Larry. People can ask me questions, whatever they want to ask. And I got a question here, I'm going to answer, but I want you to answer also. You'll love it. It's very, very simple. What is your favorite food that you've ever tried overseas? Your favorite food. Think of all the food.
Larry.
What's your favorite food?
I am a foodie.
I know you are.
Extraordinaire. I mean.
So is there a favorite?
A favorite?
Yeah.
I mean, that is.
I know
that's
hard.
So hard. Like, okay, there is a place in Nairobi that I would literally fly to just to eat there at that restaurant. It's called Carnivore.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Okay? It has racks of all kind of wild game meat that's being smoked over these coal fires.
It is
just
it's amazing.
I'm like, I'm in the bosom of Abraham right now. Just put a fork in me, I'm done right there. It's amazing. And then we've had absolutely amazing. I was saying earlier, Thai food.
Yeah.
Some of the best Thai food I've ever had. We were over in Thailand and Bangkok. And gosh, Larry, that's good.
I think
I love all foods. Listen, we love people and we love all different styles of food.
Right.
I love the Mediterranean food. I love
Eastern
food, you know. So I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, that's a hard one for me, too. Obviously, the carnivore restaurant.
Gotta say Haggis, too, by the way. So
what's that?
Gotta say some Haggis, too.
Some Haggis from Scotland. Yeah, that's not one of my favorites, but I've had it, too. But I think maybe when I look back, I'm probably a bit biased, but I think I look back when I first went to Scotland and we ate those fish and chips.
Oh, remember my that? Word.
And,
yes.
And they were amazing and wrapped in newspaper.
I
think maybe that's where I would land on that.
And wouldn't a bottle of Iron Brew.
Yeah, Iron Brew is their drink. Yeah, it's like, sweet.
It came right.
Up.
It was this fresh caught cod.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally alive, 15 hours ago. Cut up, awesome. Fried up in the batter. And
awesome. Last question I've got for you today, Doug, would be, everybody makes some mistakes. Is there any mistakes you made, you say, I wish I could have done this again. I would have done this differently this time. Any thoughts you have on that? Or you're the leader who's never made any mistakes. I haven't made any yet. Maybe you're number one.
Well, I think you could find that out by asking my wife, probably.
I'm sure. All of us.
You know, Larry, a lot of things there. I thought about this a lot, and I have apologized to my wife several times because I was at work way too much.
Okay.
Now, there again, you know, God's grace, because we lived on the golf course.
Yeah.
So she could come down with the kids and, you know, and they were like, you know, 10 years old, dishing out macaroni style for the outings, whatever. They were always around helping washing clubs or whatever. Sure. They were around. So we were fortunate to be right next door. If I would have been, you know, let's say a truck driver or you know, have to drive into the city to work, it would have been really, really, really bad. But I was there way, way too much. And, you know, so was Steve. And because, you know, we just built this brand new golf course.
Right.
And there's a million things that have to get done yesterday. So you're trying to build a business and grow a family at the same time and keep a marriage.
Right.
And I would not have done that. That was one thing I would say.
Focus more on the people you love, your family, your children.
A work-life balance.
Yeah.
A work-life balance.
Exactly.
I mean, there are seasons where you have to, like summertime, you got to work more than the wintertime.
If
you got to put 50, 60 hours in the summer, make sure you're not doing that. Make sure you're only maybe 40 hours in the winter or whatever, you know. And the work-life, it just kind of, and keep that and keep the communication. You know, every good idea that I've ever had has either, you know, I'll say something like, oh, I think I'm going to do this. And I'll get that wife look, you know, that wife look where they look at you like, you know, okay, I told you that 2 months ago, you know, universal wife look.
Right.
And so every good idea I ever had, I think has come from my wife or the Holy Spirit, which is probably the same thing anyways, you know? Because you know, I would say to the men out there, business leaders, listen to your wife.
That's good.
That has saved me so much.
So good.
Hassle.
So
and
true.
Because she obviously senses things. I married a prophetic woman, and that's interesting in its own self, right there, prophetic. But it's like she senses things in the spirit, people, the personality, and she'll say, I don't have a good feeling about this person you hired, or I think you need to get out of this. And you know, she's been saying a lot of, and things that she says eventually come to pass anyways, you know, like I know when we had that whole, back in 2020, when all that stuff was going on, she said, you know, she just got a word from God to go back to original intent of the golf course. And so she said, I just think we need to go back to original intent, just get out of, because we were doing a wedding and a banquet and having an outside restaurant all at the same time.
Right.
It was just crazy busy. And she just, I think we need to go back just to original intent with the golf course. And you know, fast forward, all things happened in 2021 and everything, with people leaving and retiring and everything else. You know, we got out of that whole business right now. So we're just doing outings and back to the restaurant and back to original intent.
So it's pretty simple. If you're married, listen to your wife, right? And
it is,
I agree.
It is really, And it saved me a lot of.
Yep, I learned.
And when I don't, I should do this one.
Yeah, we paid for it. Well, Doug Rabel, thank you for being on the podcast today. Learned so much from you. What a story God's given you. It's been an honor and a joy to know you and your wife, Chris, all these years, and just so grateful for the way God continues to use you, not only as a Christian business person, but a real kingdom heart for the nations, for people in the nations, and love you and appreciate you so much, and so grateful you're willing to come and be on the podcast.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I could do a whole week series of just talking to you. I mean, Larry, I think one thing I've always, just one last thing I want to say in closing here, one thing I'd always appreciate about you is that, you know, you traveled, like you said, 3 million miles. You know, if you look in the dictionary under the word name dropper, it's a picture of me, because I have used your name countless times all over the world. People that have no idea who I am and that kind of break the ice and everything. I'm with these different ministry leaders and I'll say, hey, by the way, do you know Larry Kreider? And like, what? How do you know him? You know, so if I'm over in Sukkotalel with Rick Ridings, I did that, or down at Morningstar, I sat under Rick Joyner, and I was Dutch Sheets or anybody else I would meet, I would say, oh, you know Larry Kreider, you know Larry Kreider. And that's kind of was my in to make dialogue and everything.
Well,
and
you're very kind.
And no, but I mean, you always love people.
I do.
You brought people in, and that's what I'm saying. When I go over these other countries, the people is what makes the draw and the connection there. Not the land so much, the people.
Exactly.
And that is what makes it so worthwhile and enjoyable when we travel in ministry. And the people you meet, you don't know it all from Adam, boom, the Holy Spirit connects you. And you're like best friend. You don't see him for a couple of years. You pick up right where you left off.
You do. And happens again.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Doug Rabel, thank you for joining me today on the Leadership Podcast. And I want to encourage everyone listening today to check out the show notes. When I get in touch with more of what's going on with Fox Chase Golf Course, want to know more about Doug Rabel, you can check out the show notes. And Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast, we basically try to find these little changes we can make. They'll make a massive difference in our lives when we obey God and trust him and make the changes that he shows we to make. So God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.